Welcome to episode 90 of the Microsoft Cloud IT Pro Podcast, recorded live from Microsoft Ignite 2018. This is a show about Office 365, Azure, and the IT Pro and end user side of life, where we discuss a topic or recent news related to Office 365 or Azure and how it relates to you as an IT Pro. Speaking of, if you're looking to learn even more about Office 365, join Ben for his webinar, Getting Started with Office 365, on October 25. To register, go to https://intg.inc/October webinar or use the link in the show notes. In this episode, we dive into Power BI and data democratization with Alexander Arvidsson. Let's get started.
Scott Hoag, back at Ignite with Alexander Arvidsson. He was nice enough to reach out to us on Twitter. We were asking for a couple of questions. And it turns out that when you reached out to us, we hadn't realized that when somebody else reached out to us, Simon, that you both do a podcast together. So we've kind of crossed the streams a little bit this week with the Knee Deep in Tech podcast. So why don't you go ahead, tell people about yourself, a little bit about your background, and we'll get into it.
Well, I'm Alexander Arvidsson from Sweden. I hold the best title in the world. That's Principal Solutions Architect, because nobody knows what one of those does.
I am a Principal Cloud Solutions Architect.
There you go. So you know that nobody
knows. I needed an extra little word in there, just to make it longer.
I know. I like it. So I've been doing SQL Server and Power BI and basically anything Azure data platform for way too many years now. I started out with Power BI before it was even Power BI. And SQL Server since version 7, which means that I'm getting old.
Yeah.
But then again, it's kind of fun.
You have less gray hair than I do, though.
Well, I have some gray hair in my beard, but we'll get in there. Yeah.
Mover is a cloud migration company that specializes in moving your company's files from file servers or cloud storage like Box, Dropbox, and Google into Office 365. Their patented technology makes Mover the fastest OneDrive file migrator in the world. Moving dozens of terabytes of data a day is a breeze. Use Mover's free, industry-leading migration guides or ask for a managed migration and they'll take the lead. With Mover, all your data is secure and intact. Running completely behind the scenes, you don't lose time, money, or hair while you transfer. Scan, plan, migrate, report. Migrations that don't suck with Mover. Visit mover.io for more info.
Very cool. So I thought it'd be fun today, just kind of based on the space you play in and kind of your role day to day in your day job, to talk a little bit about the life cycle of data. And there's, and particularly like visualizations and interactions, there's a lot of just stuff out there. There's Excel and I can do, pivot tables or charts or pivot charts, whatever it happens to be in there. We've got tooling like Power Query and Power Maps, and we've got Power BIs and third-party tools and things like that. But just from a kind of real-world consumption side of things, what you see with customers as you're going out and consulting and taking a look at implementations, I thought it'd be fun to kind of talk about the life cycle and journey and how it works in the real world versus, just reading a document.
Sure. So one of the best ways that I know of completely screwing your career, your client's money, and basically everything is to come up with a great idea to implement a huge data warehouse, because people are going to run screaming towards the horizon.
It's an interesting path to go down.
Yeah.
Typically, if you're into data warehousing, like master data management, some other things, you've got a level of maturity, and that's okay, and there's people that do that, but you also don't need that for every solution.
No, and that's a very good point, because what I see in very many cases, people are not mature with their data, and they are not mature with what they really need. So if you go down the path of creating a huge data warehouse, what's going to happen is that it's going to take a long time, it's going to be very expensive, and at the end, you're probably not going to give the client what they want. So why don't you turn it on its head and say, okay, what do you need? We'll make it happen. What do you need? Well, I want to be able to do some kind of visualization when it comes to financials. Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to sit down and do that. You just pull in data from an Excel sheet and do some magic in Power BI, let them do their thing, and they realize, ooh, that was pretty easy.
Let's start with a more minimal data set.
Yes.
And attack it that way. And I think one of the things that happens there, I don't know if you see this kind of in your implementations, but there very much is, at least from what I see, that sense of let's go automatically to the bigger solutions, because they're all kind of pitched, at least from a kind of architecture side of things, to say, you don't know what you don't know, so we'll help you extract those insights. And there is simpler tooling, like we can do things like that today inside of Power BI to go ahead and still be able to distill down and drive things.
Absolutely. And just giving the tool set to the actual end user or the data analyst, as opposed to having to go through IT, which IT tends to be swamped and IT tends to be somewhat reluctant to put even more stuff on their plate. So if we just go to the analyst, which is very familiar with the data, and then you take it from there, everything just it becomes so much easier to have that kind of discussion.
Hi, I'm Steve Peschke, and I'm one of the founders at Office365Mon.com. I worked at Microsoft for over 18 years, and one of the most common questions I got is, how do I know what's going on with the health of my Office 365 tenant? When there's a problem with your tenant, you need to know what's going on before your users. We help you understand not only when your tenant goes down, but how well it's performing. When you do have a problem, where do you start looking? Is it your network? Is it your tenant? Is it some feature inside of Office 365? Our network analysis features can pinpoint performance issues and help you figure out where those bottlenecks are. Sign up for a free 90-day trial today at Office365Mon.com. Stay in the know and stay in control with Office365Mon.com.
How do you see that happen? So it can be an interesting conversation to even enable something like Power BI. You know, most of us have some type of spreadsheet tool on our desktop. We have an app, we have Excel or Google Sheets or something else. But going into Power BI, there's a little bit of an authoring experience and potentially, you know, throwing together PBX and let's ingest data in and build a data model. Not that you need to really always recognize there's a model behind it. One of the things I've seen, and I don't know if you've run into it, is a little bit of the licensing component. So is it my data or is it a team's data? And does that drive an entitlement on the other side? Could you talk a little bit about that?
Most of the time, I start out with just Power BI Desktop, which is free.
Yep, so we just download it, do the data connections, and kind of build the model locally and have everything there?
Oh yeah, and many, many times you don't even have to talk about the model to start with. You just say, this is your Excel sheet. It is represented in Power BI like this, and you clicky-clicky, draggy-draggy, and
yep.
Make stuff. They probably know like 80% of this already coming from Excel, and they've seen Power Query, they've seen Power Pivot. That's the start. Then we go from there to a slightly more advanced model, perhaps put in a date table in order to slice and dice your data from a new perspective.
Wow, that's super advanced.
I know, right? It is so hard. And then you start to gradually build up where you pick up more data from other places, put it together, do some analysis, do some series visualizations, and take it from there. Just small steps.
Yeah, I think that's one of the nice things about that tooling is you can grow into it, like you said, where we can start maybe with a simple data set or even a single worksheet from a workbook and pull data in. And then as you want other data, go ahead and pull it in. And if it needs to be more rigid or have more of a structure to it, define relationships or transformations, you've got a kind of known path to grow into. How do you approach that story of, well, I've got my data and it's okay maybe for me as an individual, but when I'm ready to share it out there?
Well, that's a very good question, because then we turn into the next chapter of Power BI, which is the ability to share your data. And then you're going to hit the licensing issue with full force, because either you go Power BI Pro, which is per user, I think it's like $10 per user per month,
or your mileage may vary. Currencies are different all over.
Definitely. or you can go for a premium capacity of some kind where you do not need to license each and every user, but you're going to pay upfront for the capacity. So depending on your needs, you might go with individual pro licenses, or you might want to go with the P SKUs, that would be the premium SKUs, Or the third one that not many people think about, the EM SKUs, embeddable SKUs.
The EM, oh yeah, Power BI embedded.
And embeddable.
Embeddable.
Yes.
Oh, I'm familiar, I do a lot more on the Azure side.
Oh, so, right.
Straight answer. Tell me about embeddable.
Embeddable means basically that you take your visualizations and put them into, for instance, a SharePoint site. That's when you're going to use Power BI embeddable. The EM SKUs.
And there's specific SKUs for those, so we can go ahead and license them, and so that way we can kind of have the single authoring experience, but the many viewer.
Exactly.
And
if you don't need the extra benefits of having the full PowerBI.com experience, then there's no point in licensing the premium SKUs, because the premium SKUs are not cheap.
No, they add up over time, and there's some kind of different bursting models.
Yes.
And, you know, do I potentially do some of that on-prem and bring it up to the cloud, and it gets a little murky really, really quick. That's when you break out like beer and really nice fine liquor to figure out licensing.
Uh-huh. And chocolates.
Yeah, and how it's all going to come together and capacity and all those kinds of things. How do you kind of help people, you know, it's nice, we start with an initial data set, we kind of figure it out. Certainly we can build and improve on it over time. You know, at some point there's business process that might be like a living process, like a financial process. You know, we do month-end close every single month as long as the business is there. You know, sometimes we just want to do quick insights or kind of one or two hits to get in and out. How do you manage kind of data lifecycle, and do you view those things as, well, let's try and keep them in a PBIX and maybe, you know, print to PDF and share them in a report? Do they go out?
I would say that most of the time I try to stay away from static stuff. The whole point of Power BI is to be able to slice and dice the data on the fly. Many people have asked for the ability to actually take a report and put it in a PDF. So this actually came out in, I think it was in the August update, the ability to actually save a report as a PDF file, which is, it's both, at the same time, it's a step forward and, in my opinion, a step backwards, because why would you need the PDFs? But they were requested and they got it. So that's pretty much why. It all comes down to when you've finished with the one person who wants the insights and then it's time to share, then it becomes kind of tricky, because it's pretty easy to paint yourself into a corner when it comes to privileges, groups, who should have access to what.
It gets very murky.
It does.
And then who manages it?
You know, yes.
Is it the person who created it? Is it the person who owns the data? Is it some other external owner who just, you know, IT steps in and...
And when IT steps in, well, it's a whole different kettle of fish. But then again, we can go even further and skip pretty much all of that and say, in the bad old days, we had the extract, transform, and load steps into a data warehouse.
Yeah, we've got ETL.
Yes.
Then you connect, still have that for some processes.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And then you connect Excel or whatever visualization tool you want on that data warehouse. But say, for instance, that you skip the data warehouse, put all your data into a data lake, and then you use the new Power BI data flows to do true end user and analytics, where you do not need to grab someone from IT. You might need to learn a bit about USQL, mm-hmm. or you can do a lot with just the data flows GUI, and boom, you have your own complete ETL pipeline, just separate from everything else.
Yeah. So are you using Azure Data Lake when you do that? Like
yes.
ADL or there's some interesting things that happen there with connectors to existing systems or existing data stores, be it Oracle or
sure.
SQL or flat file. You know, I've just got this stuff that I want to ingest and have on the other side. And then you can do a little bit of kind of ETL light inside the Power BI desktop tooling itself, right? We can go ahead and do transformations and add columns, define relationships.
I'd actually say that it's not even ETL light. It's pretty powerful ETL, because since very recently we have Power Query on the web, which means that you have the Power Query engine on the PowerBI.com. meaning that you can actually use that to transfer and fix stuff inside of the pipeline.
Yeah, they had some announcements around Flow this week,
yes.
where they even integrated Power Query into Flows, so be able to have kind of inputs and go ahead and do some of that analysis and then have the extract come out the other side,
yep.
which is pretty darn interesting. Anything else with that kind of data lifecycle that people should be thinking about as they approach this kind of simple design and sharing and, you know, maybe if they're just thinking about getting started with it?
I would say go for prototyping to start with. You don't need to do everything right from the get-go, but what you need to do is realize that, okay, this works, albeit maybe with a piece of duct tape and a string, but it works. So go back and refactor and redo it. Don't just say, okay, it works enough if you don't look at it too hard. So redo and keep going iteratively. That's the key.
When it comes to email, Outlook and Office 365 are fantastic. But sometimes there are things you'd like to do that aren't implemented. Sperry Software creates Outlook add-ins and Office 365 services that fill in these gaps. For instance, there are Outlook add-ins to automatically print emails and/or attachments, save emails to PDF, send out recurring emails, or how about a warning when you're going to do a reply to all instead of a normal reply? Find these and many more email productivity solutions. Get started today by visiting www.sperrysoftware.com/cloudit.
I think that's the nice thing about things like Power BI Desktop is you can just start on the desktop. You don't need to start immediately in the cloud service and say, hey, we're sharing it. There's just a designer. And like you said, it's free. Go ahead and talk to your favorite person in the IT org, buy them a donut or a cup of coffee and say, hey, can you install this for me? And let me start to play around a little bit with my data.
Definitely. And keep in mind, if you know Excel, you know a lot going into Power BI because the DAX language is very close to the DAX language in Excel. Power Query is the same as the M language inside Power BI.
Yep. And then you still have all the visual designer as well. So we can do slicers and multiple types of charts. There's a visualization gallery where you can go and get custom visuals. And so there's quite a bit you can do in there. So that's all really cool. Have you kind of, as you've gone to sessions throughout the week, have there been any standout features or announcements for you where it's just either fit or finish, or it's something new where you're like, this is great. I can take this back and do something with this.
Anything about Power BI data flows. Matthew Roche had a deep dive into Power BI data flows. He's one of the program managers for the Power BI team. Anything about that, or the Adam Saxton had a session about Power BI Premium, how to utilize that in your environment. So I've focused primarily on the Power BI stuff this year.
Cool. Well, maybe what you can do is share those session numbers with me, and we'll make sure that there's links in the show notes for everybody, which they can find at mscloudITpro.com. I want to thank you very much for the time today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me.
If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.